Your Bible tonight. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, if you will, in your Bible. And we're going to read a few verses and preach a little while, and we'll go home, all right? But I hope the Lord will help us while we're here, okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 17, if you will. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you all, with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And right in the middle there, my voice changed, all right? But, hey, that's a good thing, all right? But I want to draw your attention, if I could, tonight to verse 20. I want you to note the words there where Paul wrote or where he's quoted as saying, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." The Apostle Paul here in this section of Scripture is really testifying to what he had done and the preaching that he has given to the folks at Ephesus. I told you last week there's a lot of travel going on in this chapter, and he's traveling different places, and he got to Ephesus and he's talking to the leaders there. And I'm fully convinced that Paul could have said basically the same to the folks in every place where he had been and where he had preached. I believe he would have testified to the same facts here. He had been very conscientious in his approach and in his teaching and preaching. It wasn't just hit or miss with him, all right? He was faithful to give the Scriptures in his preaching. And you don't know it, maybe not being a preacher, but it's easy for a preacher to get in a rut and just preach on certain select subjects. There are certain things, every preacher's a little different, but there's certain things that every preacher really just enjoys preaching on. There are some particular things that I truly enjoy preaching on. I enjoy giving the Scriptures and preaching them, but you don't want to get in that rut and just do the same thing every service, all right? And that wasn't what Paul had done. He said, you know, that I have held back nothing that was, you know, profitable unto you. Now, you may read that and you may think, well, okay, exactly what was involved in keeping back nothing that was profitable? I mean, what's involved in that? Well, in verse 27 of this chapter, look a little further down, I think he kind of tells us what he means. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, "What I've given you everything that God has said, and I've not held back anything at all in the preaching, and that's important, all right? That is important." There are some folks in our world today that the only thing they want to talk about is the love of the Lord. Just God is love, and that's it, and it goes no further, you know. I've heard ecumenical folks say things, you know, well, we don't want to teach or preach or give anything that divides people. But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to give the whole counsel of God, you're going to give some things that could divide people, all right? It can do that. So just for a little bit tonight, I want to speak to you on that which is profitable. That which is profitable. And really just got four main thoughts tonight. Number one, that which is profitable is always the truth. And it's the truth that is profitable for us. And be no mistake about it, when I talk about the truth, I'm talking about that which is found in the Bible. John 17:17, the Bible said, "Thy word is truth." So when we talk about truth, we're talking about what's found within the pages of the Word of God. That is truth. We cannot always guarantee other things are truth. We can't always guarantee other things are truth. You can have people go through an experience and then set them down separately and ask them, what did you see? And they won't always agree on what happened. There's not going to be agreement on what happened. Usually when I have an issue at our school with kids and there's a, something has happened, I just start questioning students. And I didn't realize it when I first started teaching in school 150 years ago that I didn't realize I'd have to become an interrogator. But, man, you just keep asking questions. And I bring in kid and I'll talk to one student and ask questions, and they'll say something. So I'll say, okay, well, you go get that person you just said and bring them in here. And after you interview about 5 or 10, you get the essence of what really happened, all right? But everybody doesn't see it the same way. But what we find in the Bible is always truth. And it's profitable, all right? That's where we're going to find that which is profitable. Let me just talk about a few things. It's profitable, the truth about sin and the Savior. That's profitable for us. It's profitable. It's good to know that all unrighteousness is sin. We need to know that, all right? We need to realize we're all sinners. There's a lot of applications to that. A lot of times the first thing we do is we talk about, well, we're all sinners, and you have to get somebody convinced that they are a sinner before they can get saved, and that's important. But sometimes it's good for saved people to be reminded we are all sinners. We're not perfect, okay? We're going to mess some things up. We're going to mess some things up sometimes. That helps us to understand some other people. We're sinners, all right? We're sinners. We'll do some things that hopefully later on you'll say, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have said that. So why did it happen? Well, I am a sinner. Now, that's not an excuse, but it's the truth. We need to realize that truth. Hey, if I'd never understood the truth that I was a sinner and lost in my sin, I'd have never realized I needed a Savior. I'd have never realized that. Hey, all have sinned, and the truth of the matter is there's only one can fix that situation. There's only one. You cannot get to heaven any other way than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He did not go to the cross to make a spectacle of himself. He went to the cross to pay our sin debt that you and I owe. That's why the Bible tells us, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price. He paid the price. Hey, that's profitable for us. It's profitable that we know that. It's important. Without that fact, we'll not get saved. Without that fact, people not go to heaven, all right? But it's profitable for us to hear about our sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be reminded of my sin. I never have enjoyed somebody pointing it out. Never have. I didn't like it when it come to light when I thought it was hidden. As a kid, my brother and I got in some escapades. And we got caught. It wasn't fun. But it was profitable. It was profitable for us, okay? Hey, can I say this to you, the truth about godly living? That's profitable for you. You ever think about that? Ever think about that? If you knew where they were handing out $100 bills, wouldn't it be good if you'd tell somebody else? I don't want you to come up next Sunday and say, "Hey, preacher, they were handing out $100 bills, Saturday morning down at the corner of Altam Road and Broadway." I don't want you to come tell me that then. Wouldn't a bunch of you get offended if somebody knew they were and they didn't tell you? Until the next day, our first question is, are you still there? Hey, we need to know that when it's timely, all right? We need to know that when it's timely. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, what in the world are you trying to illustrate this fact right here? When it comes to godly living, it's the godly sold-out Christian life that brings the blessing of God. Man, it's the one that the reward comes to those that serve the Lord. The reward is given to those that are faithful. Hey, that truth is profitable for us. We sometimes, as preachers, we get accused, man, you're harping on it. Well, that's because you're not getting it, all right? You're not getting it. We have to realize this fact. Hey, it's profitable for us if we know we'll live a godly life. It's profitable for us if we know and understand we'll obey God. Hey, Brother Smith, Ms. Smith here this morning, missionaries, and tons of other missionaries testify the same thing. It's profitable for them to leave their family, to leave their land and go to a foreign land and serve the Lord. It's profitable for them to do that. It's not been a sacrifice. It's profitable for them to do that. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw his own condition, and he heard the Lord say, you know, who will I send? Who will go for me? It was profitable for Isaiah to say, here am I, send me. That was profitable for him. It's profitable for us to live that life. And man, I go on, I'll just say a few of that. Walking with God, that's profitable. That's profitable for you, just walking with the Lord. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's profitable. Confessing your sin, that's profitable. Might not be pleasant, but it's profitable. It's profitable for us to confess our sin, okay? It's just the profitable thing to do. I'm amazed at people today that want to hide what they've done. I mean, little bitty things. Now, the good thing about confessing your sin, we don't have to confess it to each other. But it is profitable if we had confessed it to God. Hey, listen, when you realize you're wrong, when you realize you're wrong, you ought to confess. You ought to confess. If the Word of God is preached and something is mentioned and something is preached from the Word of God, you hear that, you sit and say, oh, I'll take care of that later. And you ought to take care of it right then. You ought to get down the aisle. You ought to confess to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm guilty. Well, man, you spoke to me tonight. That's good for you. That's good for you. But the word confess is coupled with something else when it comes to sin. It's coupled with forsaking. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Hey, man, listen, it's profitable to confess and then forsake your sin. It's just a profitable thing to do. It's a lot more profitable to confess and forsake than just confess it. You need to forsake it. That's profitable for you. Paul preached that kind of thing, all right? Hey, it's profitable to you to keep yourself pure. Profitable to you to keep your life clean. That's a profitable thing to do. It is just profitable for you and I to do that. It's wise. It helps us stay pure in your life. Stay clean. You say, well, God will forgive it. Yes, He will. But it leaves a scar. Leave some scars on you. Most people sitting in here have scars physically. We've done something. All right? We've done something. Maybe not on purpose, but we've got scars, okay? Hey, it's profitable to stay away from those things. I'm reminded constantly, I'm no longer a spring chicken. And one of the things I'm careful about is falling. I know as you get older, people, you know, and we hear about people falling. And some of you younger people can't stand up too good either, all right? But you fall, all right? But you bounce better than the more seasoned individuals, all right? We don't bounce good anymore. Hey, so when you get that, you got to be careful about that, okay? Got to be careful. I'm conscious about that thing. I'm conscious about I don't want to try to lift something that's going to hurt my back. I'd rather call somebody else and they hurt their back. Somebody else that's younger and stronger and they could pick it up, all right? I'd rather do that. Why? Because it's better than trying to fix it. Hey, that's why it's profitable for you to stay pure, stay clean. It's better to do that than try to have to clean it up. Try to have to clean it up. Those things are profitable. Hey, separating from sin, that's profitable. That's profitable. We do things. We do a lot of things by habit. A lot of things. We're habitual creatures. And we do it. We don't think too much about it. Well, I'll tell you what, fooling around with sin can become a habit too. And the profitable thing to do is get away from it. Separate yourself from sin and say, I'm not going to be partaking of that. There's a better way for me to live. I'm going to separate myself from sin. Why? It's profitable. It's profitable. And we ought to do that. It's profitable to be faithful in giving and going to church and witnessing to the lost. Those things are profitable. They're profitable. Well, when it comes to witnessing, the Bible talks about if you'll witness, you'll shine as the stars. The Bible says, man, if you can reach a soul, you can cover a multitude of sin. It's profitable for you. It's profitable for you to do those things. Hey, all those things are truths found in the Word of God, too. They're profitable. Why? Because the truth is always profitable for you, all right? There's no profit in lies or liars. No profit. No profit can be found in all that Satan brings up, all that Satan promotes, all that he throws your way. There's no profit in that, all right? But I'm amazed at people that go to that and avoid the things God says to do and then can't figure out why life is messed up. Why? Because we've listened to the lies of Satan, all right? There's just not any. There's no profit there. I'll be honest with you. There's not much profit on the nightly news, okay? There's not much profit in the speeches of politicians. Not much profit in the meeting of the intellectuals in our day. You know, there's just not much profit. Profit is to be found in the truth of the Word of God. That's where profit is to be found. As a preacher, man, I've emphasized, read your Bible, read your Bible. We try to encourage you to read the Bible through in a year. When you say, preacher, why do you do it? Because it's profitable. Because it's profitable. It is profitable. Hey, heads up, right here. That is not a lot of profit. Okay? You see that? There's not a lot of profit there. But, man, that's where people spend their time today. All right? There's not a lot of profit to that. We're entertained. But man, you know, you don't need to be entertained all the time. No profit in that. That which is profitable is truth. Truth is profitable. Hey, that which is profitable is also timeless. It's timeless. Everything that was profitable for those folks in Ephesus thousands of years ago is still profitable today. Man, the amazing thing about the Word of God, it's not outdated. Not outdated. Now, there's a lot of folks today would say it is, but it's not. It is timeless because truth is timeless. Passage of time doesn't change the truth, all right? It doesn't change the truth. Doesn't matter how much time goes by, truth is truth. People try to change that. We hear people today denying the Holocaust. Denying the Holocaust. Denying that the Jewish people were ever put into concentration camps and slaughtered. Deny that. Hey, truth hadn't changed that. There may be still a few people living today that could roll up their sleeve and show you the tattoo that was put on their arm in that concentration camp. Hey, they didn't put it on there themselves. is put upon them. But folks try to deny that, and they think, well, if enough time goes by, I can change it. You can't change the truth. You cannot change the truth. And it's necessary to say it because there's so many today that are claiming that truth changes because opinions change. Our culture changes, all right? Our public policy changes. Listen, all of that's true. Customs do change. Cultures change. People may change. Public policy changes. But this book never changes. Never changes. It's truth. It's always true. It doesn't matter what happened along the way. It doesn't matter how people view the Word of God. It doesn't change the fact that it's truth. It doesn't change that fact at all. Hey, it doesn't change it if you decide, well, I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. You can believe that it's okay to stick a fork in an electrical outlet. You can believe that all you want to, but I'd encourage you not to do it. All right? I just encourage you not to do that. Our beliefs, our opinions may change, but your opinion, my opinion, doesn't change the truth of this book. Doesn't change that truth one bit in the world. That's why the Bible, hey, it's the source of my preaching and teaching. It never changes because truth never changes. Time changes, preacher. Okay, fine. Well, the culture's changed. That's true. But it hadn't changed truth of the Word of God. Hadn't changed that truth one bit. This book's still true. Everything in it's still true. If God said it, it's still true. Hadn't changed and not going to change. Nothing people will do or say can make any of it change. There it is. God's put it there, all right? Does not change. Truth is timeless. Timeless. That's why it's so good you can walk up, talk to anybody you can, and get them and nose eyeball to eyeball and tell them Jesus died for them. And he'll forgive their sin. It doesn't matter. And some people will say, I've had people say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. He can forgive your sin. Why? That's the truth. It doesn't change. Now, here's the problem. That which is profitable is not always popular. Man, it's not popular. You said, why is it that the Bible is not popular? Well, it goes against the flesh. It goes against the flesh, all right? We're people that live by fleshly appetites. And the Bible goes against the flesh. It warns us to put the flesh to death, all right? Why? Because flesh likes to sin. It is the flesh that likes to sin. For that person who's dealing with pornography, the reason they have a hard time with it is the flesh likes to absorb that wickedness, likes to do it. The reason people get hooked on dope, hey, the truth of the matter is the reason people ever try it the first time is because we're sinners. We're sinners. And the easiest illustration that I can think of is how many times have you touched something when the sign said, don't touch? How many times have you touched it when it said, don't touch? Well, we've touched. The sign said, don't. So us being what we are, we're looking around and we touch it. We touch it. Been in caverns. And those delicate, if you've ever been in a cave, and seen those formations that are there that have been developed over years, and they always tell you, don't touch them. Don't touch them. And I don't remember now which cave it was we went in, because I've been in a bunch of them. But I don't remember which one it was we went in, and they had a formation that they let people touch. And they said, you can touch that one. You didn't want to. It was nasty looking. All the beauty that was in those other ones was destroyed by people touching that one. Now, that's why people said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. If you ladies get a bouquet of roses, you don't go, oh, isn't it wonderful? Go around each one of them, aren't they lovely? Just feel of that. You don't take them to your friends and say, just feel of that. Why? Because that touch ruins it. Now, you may say, smell it, but you don't want them to touch it. Hey, but there's something within us that when we're told don't, we want to do. We want to do. Why? The flesh. It likes to sin. It likes to sin. Hey, but it's not popular. A lot of times when it's profitable, it's not popular. It's not popular because it can come with a cost. But there's some things where God says to do, and they're not popular. They're profitable, but they're not profitable, or they're not popular because it's going to cost you maybe your friends or family. It's going to cost you. There's going to be a cost because your fans, your friends, your family do not understand those who get a full case of salvation. Hey, you know, if all you get at salvation is a little churchanity, all right, and all you get there is just, well, we can go to church every now and then, well, it won't bother anybody. But man, if you get a dose of it, you get in with both feet, you're going to have family members saying, what's wrong with you? What in the world's wrong with you? I mean, you don't have to go to church all the time, okay? You just don't have to do that. Yet I've never remember hearing anybody tell somebody, hey, look, you don't have to go to every one of them football games. I've never heard anybody say that. I used to, many years ago, I was a fan of wrestling before it got over the top stupid, all right? And I remember watching it on TV. And I went to school, and I was talking to some of my buddies at school, and they said, hey, you know that woman that sits down there at ringside and you can always see her on TV? They said, yeah. I said, that's my aunt. That's my aunt. I don't think anybody ever came to her and said, hey, you don't need to sit there every week. But isn't it amazing? We can go all out for something else. But when we go all out for the things of God, people come along and begin to wonder about you. Hey, wait a minute, man. You don't understand. He saved my soul. He's forgiven my sin. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm not going to face that sin again. I'll never face it. It's been taken care of. It's under the blood. And man, he's not only taken care of that, but he's taking good care of me right now. But man, oh, you're a fanatic. You've lost it. Hey, it's not profitable because people have begun to shy away from you. And they just begin to run from you a little bit. And it's not profitable, all right, because it's not popular. Not popular. Last thing I want you to see is that which is profitable is not always palatable. You said, huh? Well, that word palatable is a word that means good or acceptable to the taste or to the mind. Remember what the Bible says about the Lord? It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But I'm amazed at how many people don't like the way that which is profitable. Things that are profitable are not always palatable because they don't go down easy. They're hard for us to swallow. They're hard for us to take. Hey, when that preacher gets up and preaches and he points his finger at you and he lays out what you are and you get to thinking about it and you begin to wonder who told him. Nobody had to tell him. The Holy Spirit of God brings conviction. Hey, it doesn't go down easy. Hey, I'll be honest with you, the truth can be difficult. The truth can be difficult. It is much better for you and I to think of ourselves, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. I'm not a bad guy. I mean, I've never shot anybody. I've never committed armed robbery. I've never done that, you know. I've never done that kind of thing before. And, you know, I don't beat my dog. There's all kind. I'm a good person. I'm just a good person. But the truth is, you're a sinner. The truth is, you're a sinner. And the truth is, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's what we do. The best we can do. Can I just tell you something? That's not encouraging. That's not easy to take. It's not easy for me and you to take that. And truth can oftentimes be a very difficult obstacle to overcome. I feel like saying right now that's the problem with people running for office. Their truth is hard for them to overcome, but they keep trying, all right? And they keep trying to weasel around it and lie through it or lie about it or just ignore it. That old truth is difficult to overcome. So it's not very palatable. It doesn't go down easy. It doesn't go down. When the preacher or the Word of God points out something that we like, we get upset. Now, nobody here gets bent out of shape if I spent the whole night preaching on bootlegging. I don't guess. You know, if I got up here tonight and preached against bootlegging, making, bathtub gin or whatever, no, nobody, all of you say, amen, preacher, let it go, have it, amen. You tell them. But man, when we get on some other thing, When we talk about tithing, we talk about giving to God. Hey, when we talk about witnessing for the Lord, when we talk about being faithful in the house of God. Well, preacher, I don't think you ought to get so hard on something. Hey, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It doesn't go down easy. Doesn't do that. It stands in the way of us doing our own thing. Stands in the way of us doing our own thing. Things that we might like to do. That's what I wanted to do, but hey, it stands in the way of turning the flesh loose and living in lust. That's what the world wants to do today. Man, just go live. Do whatever you want to do. It's all right, all right? Hey, we don't want to pay the price of denying ourselves. We don't want to do, when the Bible says, you know, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. We don't want to do that. We like that religion that's preached to us that's just about that thick and just, you know, say you love Jesus and, try not to cheat anybody too bad and, live by the golden rule, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And, you know, that's all right. But man, when the truth of the Word of God, it's not very plain. It's hard to swallow. It's hard to take. But boy, hey, listen, that's what we need. We need. I don't know about you, but I go to the doctor and I've got some problem. I want him to tell me. I want him to tell me. I don't want to go in there and him say, man, there's nothing wrong with you. That's just all in your head. It's all in your head. Just don't worry about it. I heard years ago a story of this guy went to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. You just think you're sick. A few weeks later, he goes back to the doctor. The doctor examined and said, there's nothing wrong with you. You just think you're sick. That's all. There's nothing wrong. You're okay. Go on. A couple of weeks later, he comes back. There's nothing wrong with you. I've examined you again. You just think you're sick. Then he doesn't show up for 6 months. And the doctor sees his wife. He said, man, how's your husband? He said, he's worse. He thinks he's dead. Hey, I want my doctor to look at me and say, you got a problem, boy. Here, there's something wrong with you. You need to take this. We need to treat that problem. Something needs to be done. Well, I don't want the doctor to say, yeah, it's okay, don't worry about it. Now, I joke with my doctor. I'll go see him, I go through the old annual checkup and all that, and he'll say, yep, doing pretty good. I tell him, I'll probably drop dead on the parking lot on the way to my car, you know. And I told him that one time. He said, well, I guess that is possible. Started to say, hey, Doc, something you ain't telling me? We need that which is profitable. We need that which is profitable. Paul said, I have done my best, okay? He said, I've done my best. There in chapter 20, down there, in, he lays it out to the folks there in Ephesus, all right? And I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Nothing that was profitable. Can I just say this to you? That's my goal as a preacher. I don't want to keep back anything profitable for you. I don't want to look and say, well, I don't think they'll be able to handle that truth. I don't think they'll be able to handle that truth. You know, I've told people before, if you don't want somebody's opinion, don't ask them. You know, though, the old illustration, the old example, I've heard it, you've heard it. Somebody said, these clothes make me look fat. Man, what a thing to ask, all right? Come on, you got to be kidding. Does this make me look older? And what a thing to ask. Don't ask those. Hey, how you like my new hairdo? I'm reminded of what Brother Smith said this morning about the cake. You remember what he said? He said, somebody give you a cake and you take it home, you try it and it tastes terrible. Instead of threw it in the trash can, you go back to church that night and he said, preacher, how was that cake? He said, well, cake like that don't last long around our house. Hey, he told the truth. Told the truth. Hey, but you know, you ought to be able to take it. And I offer people stuff sometimes and they say, well, I don't like that. And if it's something I like, I say, good. So don't have to worry about you eating my part, all right? You know, I can get it all. Hey, we need what's profitable for us. Not necessarily because we like it. Not necessarily because we accept it and say, oh boy. No, we just need what's profitable. Don't hold it against the preacher when the preacher preaches to you and you say, man, I don't like that. But wait a minute, is it true? Is it scripture? Is it the word of God? Well, if it is, you take it. And you heed that which is profitable. Heed that which is profitable. Hey, there's a lot of people out there in the world, they're heeding everything that's unprofitable. Everything out there, it's unprofitable. No profit for them whatsoever. But yet they're sucking in on it. Getting taken in by it. Why? Because it just pleases the flesh. It pleases the flesh. Hey, we ought to seek that which is profitable. We ought to long for it. We ought to pray for it. We ought to appropriate it. We ought to take it and appropriate it in our lives. But whatever you do, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Take that which is profitable. Paul said, I've given you. I've given you. All right? I held back nothing. Kept back nothing that was profitable for you. What's profitable for you? What have you done with it? What have you done with it? I meet people, and I through the years have talked to a lot of people. They got out of church because what was preached would have been profitable, but they disobeyed it, they ignored it, and they said, I don't like it. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going somewhere else. On the way to church this morning, happened to have the radio on. Usually I don't, but I think it was on when I cranked up the car, and there was some news on, and they talked about two doctors being convicted of medical fraud and insurance fraud, and both of them sentenced to 6 years in federal pen and demand that they pay $9 million restitution. They had been treating people that had nothing wrong. They had been giving extra medicine to people that didn't need the extra medicine. Hey, You don't need that. But what's profitable, you need it. You need it. You hear it, take it. Don't run from it. Accept it. Appropriate it in your life. Get a hold of that truth. Stick with it. Let it make a difference in you. Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel. You need that. You need that. That's why you come to church, so you can get it. That's why you read your Bible, so you can get what God has for you. And you take it in. And you say, I'm going with that. I'm going to take that. I'm going to do what that says. I'm going to observe to do that. I'll give it everything I've got. Hey, but don't run from the preaching of the Word of God. If in the days ahead the preaching gets hot and the preacher's coming down your road, don't switch roads. Let it speak to you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Lord, not a message demanding radical change. Lord, not a message tonight that might bring great conviction. But Lord, would you help us to see we need that which is profitable. And that which is profitable is always going to be true. It's going to be the Word of God. That's what we need. And Lord, timeless, it hasn't changed, it never will change. And we ought not to let people try to talk around the truth of the Word of God. Lord, if we need it, help us to appropriate it in our lives.